Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
He is risen. Hallelujah, indeed. He is risen. We're here today to celebrate our risen Lord Jesus, the one who defeated the grave, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that exciting? I just want you to I know you've just been doing this, but just look at each other and say, the King is risen. The King is risen. He is risen indeed, hallelujah, and it should be a reason for us to be celebrating and filled with joy. We should be people filled with joy on a day like today when we're remembering this King of Kings. We're remembering that he has moved from humiliation. Jesus was born as a baby in weakness. Jesus was risen and Jesus lived a life where he was mocked and scorned and people took the mick out of him. He spat on, he was hit, he was all sorts of things. He was ignored. The religious leaders tried to get rid of him. He died on a cross, nailed to a cross, naked, in public, for all the passers-by to see. The humiliation of Jesus was there. And yet today we move to the place of exaltation. We move from humiliation to the exaltation of our Lord and Savior, where he rose from the dead, defeating the final enemy, victorious, king over all things. He ascended into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, being worshipped by all of heaven. He is the exalted one. He is the Lord that we worship and gather around today. Hallelujah. Let's just have a hallelujah. That's what they sing in heaven all day long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. King of Kings. He is worthy. He is worthy. I want to start by reading a quote of Jesus. It's one of my favorite quotes that Jesus said. I probably say that every time I preach, I think. But let's go here. It says this: "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and Hades." What an incredible statement that is. Just read it in, lap it in, think about that for a moment. He is the living one forever and ever. Jesus is saying this to John, one of his disciples. Jesus is saying this to the one that Jesus loved, the one that walked with Jesus closely. He was so close to Jesus that he laid his head on Jesus' chest as they had dinner. He was the one that described himself as the one that Jesus loved. It's a bit of a big statement to make, isn't it? But I hope each one of us in here can describe ourselves as the one Jesus loved. John walked through life with Jesus. He saw miracle after miracle. He saw the power of God break in. He saw it when the religious leaders tried to catch him out and Jesus was uncatchable, outable. He was there, he was present, he was walking with Jesus. He was there in the moment where Moses was there, transcended into the earth on the mountain top. Elijah came down. He was there, he was present at that moment. He was present as Jesus had his final meal. He was there, he was present with Jesus, this John, this Apostle John. He was there as Jesus was arrested. He was there as someone cut the ear off one of the soldiers and Jesus healed it. He was there, he was present. He was there when Jesus was taken. He was there watching when he was in front of judges and rulers and he stayed silent. He was there, he watched it, he was present. He was there as he was beaten and mocked and spat on. He was there. John saw it. He was there at the cross as Jesus lay hanging, dying on the cross. John was there watching. He was there watching and Jesus spoke to John from the cross. And he was such a close friend of Jesus that he asked him to look after his mum, to take him into his house. Son and mother, it's an amazing moment. That's how close this John was to this Jesus. He was there when Mary ran back from the tomb and said, "It's empty. The tomb is empty. His body is not there." He was there when he got that news and he ran to the tomb himself, him and Peter. And John records the fact that he was faster than Peter. I don't know why. But he was there as they arrived at the tomb and they stooped in. The stone was moved out the way and they stooped in. And they saw the linen that Jesus' body had been wrapped in. John was there. He was there when he saw the garment that had covered Jesus' face folded up and just lying where his body had been previously. And then it says in John that he just went home. Can you imagine the emotion of John in this moment? He's not seen the resurrected Jesus yet. He's just seen this empty tomb. He goes home. Can you imagine the kind of excitement, but also the kind of, it's been a weird few days. It's been a strange time. The emotion that would be going on in John. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being that? Could it be true? Could he be risen? Could he be alive? Could this Jesus have defeated death? Could he be resurrected? Oh, surely not. Surely not. He was there in the upper room when the door was locked and Jesus was amongst the disciples. The risen Lord Jesus. Can you imagine this? The physical, resurrected body of Jesus. He was there when the disciples were invited to touch the scars. He was there. I bet he even cuddled Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. I bet he hugged him. I bet he was amazed and in awe of this Jesus. He was there with our resurrected Lord. As our resurrected Lord ate fish and bread, John was there. That's an incredible thing. I wish I was there. Do you wish you were there? Do you wish you were there? As you saw this risen Lord Jesus, resurrected and in power, not just that, ate with him. What a glorious time that would have been. And it says that the disciples fell down and worshipped this Jesus. They worshipped this risen Jesus. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, these disciples took hold of Jesus and worshipped him. Isn't that amazing? I wish I was there. And yet, we've moved a few years on now. We've got to the place where John has been preaching about this Jesus, the life, death, and resurrection. We've got to the place where John has been preaching and he's been put on the island of Patmos and he's been sent there so that he can't preach about Jesus anymore. What a mistake that was. It gave him more time to meet with Jesus. But it says that on the Lord's day, John hears the voice of the Lord from behind him and he turns around to see Jesus in all his glory. And he sees one like the Son of Man. That's one of Jesus' favorite titles for himself while he was on earth. The Son of Man. The Son of Man is a big declaration. It's taken from Daniel. Daniel prophesied it years before. He prophesied that one like the Son of Man would come and rule over every other nation, that his kingdom would come and it would never end, that he would be more powerful than any other god, that he would be more powerful than any other person that's ever lived, that he would be more powerful than any other created idol. One like the Son of Man. And he describes him as having long, flowing white hair showing his amazing wisdom. He describes him of having fiery eyes. He describes him of having bronze feet. He describes him of having a tongue like a sword, which is double-edged. This is Jesus in his glory. This is Jesus in his glory. And John, who knew Jesus so well, his only response when he saw Jesus in that way was to fall down as if dead. The glory was so much around Jesus that he would fall down as if dead. The awe and wonder of John, who knew this Jesus, is in awe of this Jesus. The powerful Jesus, the Lord, the one who is resurrected. And I love this. I love this because when you think about the power of God, often I think of the distance that he is from us. You can't get close to the power of God. But John sees the power of God in front of him. And this Jesus stretches out his hand. He stretches out his hand with a nail scar in it still. And he places his hand on John's shoulder. And he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." We don't have to be afraid of being in Jesus' presence. We are welcomed into the presence of God. Jesus stretches his hand out and he says, "Do not be afraid." You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid because the one who created all things, the one who is from the beginning to the end, the one who is forever, the first and the last, the one who is eternal, he died in your place. You don't have to be afraid in my presence because he has paid the price. You don't have to be afraid because he is alive. He has defeated the grave. Paul tells us that if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we are to be pitied above all. But because he has, we now have life. Hallelujah. And I think some people in here probably need to hear this today. This is a verse. The message of the resurrection is a message that has encouraged people in dark times, year on year on year, for centuries. When writing to the church that is spread out across the world, Peter writes about the resurrection. The church is in trouble. The church is being persecuted. There is danger. What does he talk about? He talks about the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus. And I think some people need to hear this today. You need to hear and be reminded about the resurrected King in your situation. I don't know about you, but there's some moments where I read the news and I read about Gaza and I read about the people starving and I read about the people dying. And I need to be reminded that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I bet there's people, Christians in Gaza right now, who are holding on to this truth. He is the resurrection and the life. And I know there's people in here. I had a friend I'm walking with currently whose son is in a hospice currently. And his son has a brain tumour and he's lost his ability to speak and he's lost his eyesight's wonky. It was his birthday this week. In a moment of celebration, he sent a photo of this boy, but I needed to be reminded that Jesus is the resurrection and the life when I saw that. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he comes into the darkest situation. You see it here. He doesn't stand afar. He comes close. He draws near. That is what Jesus does. He is the King who draws near when we need it. He is the King who draws near in hardship. He's the King who draws near. He draws near. That is the message of Jesus. The resurrected King draws near. Isn't that a glorious thing? Shall we just rest in that for one moment? The resurrected King draws near. Now, I don't know all of your situations. I know some of them, but you need to know. The resurrected King. This is a declaration. He is risen. He is risen. It's a fact. He is risen. He is reigning and ruling. He is in control. Even when it doesn't look like it, he reigns. Even when I can't see it, he reigns. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I was doing Alpha recently. I thought it was about time I explored the faith. But I was helping out on Alpha recently. It's been wonderful. It has been so good. We have journeyed with people. Alpha's a great place. If you've not done it and you're searching, I would suggest to get yourself onto Alpha. It's just a time where you can chat about things. You can ask any awkward questions. You can do all this. There are some people who are already Christians on the course, but kind of having to explore and communicate and things. And it's just been a great time. We've seen two people come to know Jesus. Hallelujah. It has been so good. And we've seen some people just have a touch from the King, and they're not quite there yet, but they've had a touch from the King. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near, and it's been so good. There's been some amazing moments, but what I realised doing Alpha is most people that you talk to would say, oh yeah, Jesus, he existed. Yeah, he lived about 2,000 years ago. I believe he was a real man 2,000 years ago, lived in the Middle East. I believe that Jesus, yeah, he walked the earth. And this is a great place to start a conversation from. It's like, well, who was this Jesus? You know, Muslims, they believe in Jesus. They actually believe he was born of a virgin. They believe that he did loads of miracles. They believe he was one of the only prophets to ever do miracles. Do you know that? Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe in Jesus. They believe he existed. Atheists, most atheists that you speak to, believe Jesus existed. Is that what we mean by believe in Jesus? No. No, we have to believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It is his life, his death, and his resurrection. Not the moral teaching, not the good stuff. That is good. Like, don't throw it out. Learn from it. Live in it. But it is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that is the truth declared that brings salvation to those who believe. His life, death, and resurrection. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, and I hope you don't mind, I wrote something that was a bit like a poem to me, the unscholarly poet. And I want to read it. But it is just a load of questions. So just allow these questions to flow over you. And I'm sorry if it's too long, but I quite got into it. And it's just about, do you know Jesus? So do you know Jesus who is God? Do you know the Jesus who is uncreated, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last? Do you know the Jesus that made all things, the Jesus who holds the whole world together by the power of his voice, that if he stopped speaking, everything would cease? Do you know the Jesus that was prophesied about, that was born of a virgin, that gave up glory, that chose love over comfort, that left heaven and didn't cling to his position? Do you know Jesus that, despite being tempted in every way, lived a whole life on earth without any sin? Do you know the Jesus that calmed the seas, the Jesus that multiplied the food to feed the multitudes? Do you know the Jesus who healed the sick, that restored sight to the blind, enabled lame to walk, cleansed the lepers, gave hearing to the deaf, and raised the dead? Do you know the Jesus who preached the good news to the poor, that befriended prostitutes, tax collectors, and sinners? The Jesus who discipled the unlikely, empowered the weak, and trained the unschooled? Do you know the Jesus who was proclaimed Messiah and Christ? Do you know the Jesus who wept, the Jesus who sweated blood, the Jesus whose soul was crushed to the point of death? Do you know the Jesus who was betrayed by his close friend? Do you know the Jesus who was tried by sinful men, and despite them finding nothing wrong with him, condemned him to death, even death on a cross? Do you know the Jesus that was mocked? He was whipped, he was flogged. Do you know the Jesus who was spat on and punched and wore a crown of thorns? Do you know the Jesus that, despite being all-powerful, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross? The Jesus who hung naked on a cross with a plinth that read, King of the Jews. Do you know the Jesus that died on that very cross? Do you know the Jesus that declared, it is finished, and breathed his last? Do you know the Jesus that died in your place? The Jesus that took your punishment, the punishment you deserved, who hung and took your sin, nailing your shame to that cross? taking your guilt on himself. Do you know the Jesus that was buried in a rich man's tomb? A tomb that was sealed and guarded by the temple guards. Do you know the Jesus that could not be held by death? The Jesus who rose to life on the third day. The Jesus that defeated the final enemy. Do you know the Jesus who holds the keys to death and the grave? Do you know the Jesus that satisfied the wrath of God? That brought forgiveness and love and mercy to all who believe. Do you know the Jesus who unites himself with us, who raises us up, the Jesus who gives us new eternal life? Do you know the Jesus who appeared to the disciples in his resurrected body, the Jesus who allowed the disciples to touch his scars? Do you know the Jesus who declared him, who was declared my Lord and my God? The Jesus who was held and worshipped by his disciples. Do you know the Jesus who ascended into heaven, who sits at the right hand of the Father in all authority? Do you know the Jesus who, as we speak, is being worshipped by millions upon millions of heavenly beings, joined with the saints from all the ages, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come"? Do you know the Jesus who rules and reigns over every aspect of life, whether visible or invisible? Do you know the Jesus who still speaks today? Do you know the Jesus who is alive and active in this world? Do you know the Jesus who visits people, that comforts people, that heals people? Do you know the Jesus that still saves, rescues people from darkness? Do you know the Jesus who will one day return? The Jesus who we will see riding on a white horse at the head of heaven's armies? Do you know the Jesus who will judge the living and the dead? The Jesus who will come and claim his victory over the evil one once and for all? Do you know the Jesus who will end this age and bring a new age to come? The Jesus who will make all things new? Do you know the Jesus who will bring an end to all suffering, sadness, and pain? Do you know the Jesus who will live with his people and shine his light over them for all eternity? Is that the Jesus that you know? Is that the Jesus that you know? Is that the Jesus that you know? And you're welcomed in to knowing him, that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Jesus that loves to come near, the Jesus that loves to draw near to you. Today we are... I want to just say, how do we respond to this Jesus? How do we respond to him in this place? And there's two ways that I'd like us to respond. One of them is this. These are the seeds that Anna has made. And what I want you to do, they're really heavy, so I hope you've got a big patch of grass to put them on. But on it, it says, Jesus said, this is another verse that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection of the life. I want you to take a bag of these seeds and I want you to sow them somewhere. Somewhere where you will be able to see, not your neighbour's garden, as Andy suggested. But somewhere you will be able to watch them as they go into the ground and they raise up to life. I want you to be able to look at them as they grow. And I want them to remind you of this Jesus that we're speaking about today, the Jesus that holds resurrection power, the Jesus that will return, the Jesus who is ruling and reigning, the Jesus who is in all control and all authority. I want you to plant these and watch them. And every time you see them growing, I want you to worship this Jesus. That is the right response when we think of Jesus. It is to worship him and to lift him high. So that is the first thing that I want you to do. Remember the resurrection power of Jesus. Make sure you take some, make sure you plant them, make sure you watch them and worship our Lord who is resurrected. And the second thing, as I read through the Easter story in all the Gospels, it is this thing of worship Jesus. Again and again they said to worship Jesus. And there's moments where they're worshipping him in his resurrected body. And there's a moment where Mary Magdalene is worshipping Jesus, and she says, "Do not cling to me, because I'm not yet ascended to the Father." Now, that might seem like a contradictory to the message of Jesus who comes close. But actually, the truth is that that is the Jesus who wants to come even closer. Because he said in John 16, that if I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit to come and dwell inside of you. And that will give you resurrection life within. So him going to the Father is him wanting to be even closer to you. So the response right now is to come and to worship our King, the resurrected Lord Jesus, who is alive and in this place.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media, and you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.